It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Coming up, a lot of big stories we're following for you. Did you know a congressman has actually admitted that he wishes he could overturn the First Amendment? He said he would actually like to regulate your speech. We will talk about that before we're done. Shelley Goldberg here with a parenting hack and a lot on James Comey and General Mike Flynn. Stay with us. Breaking details right now.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
We placed a call to Flynn, said, hey, we're sending a couple guys over. Hope you'll talk to them. He said, sure.
And so he did. That's James Comey. That's James Comey in front of a live audience. That's James Comey in front of a live audience on tape. That's James Comey in front of a live audience and on tape admitting that he broke standard protocol for the FBI in sending agents to interview a suspect in an investigation without advising said suspect of the need for his attorney, nor for his possibility of prosecuting him for false statements. That is the former FBI director, James Comey. Let me give you the context of what he actually said. Cut one, go.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them. something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. The protocol, two men that all of us have perhaps increased appreciation for over the last 2 years. And in both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over. And so we placed a call to Flynn, said, hey, we're sending a couple guys over. Hope you'll talk to them. He said, sure. Nobody else was there. They interviewed him in a conference room at the White House Situation Room, and he lied to them. And that's what he's now pled guilty to.
What did he think they were coming over there for?
I don't think he knew. No, we didn't tell him. Just said, we've got a couple, sending over a couple of agents. I want to ask you some questions. I didn't have this conversation, my deputy director did, but hope you got a few minutes, you can sit down and talk to them. And he said, sure.
The smarm and the hubris with which James Comey is saying this is literally stomach-churning, sickening. It's obvious that he's in a very friendly atmosphere. That's Nicole Wallace of MSNBC. It's obviously a very liberal group that hates Trump and loves Obama and probably tolerates the mention of Bush, but probably doesn't love him. But this is a very telling piece of audio tape, because what Comey is admitting is that he just circumvented the normal process. What he's admitting is he did not give due process to the suspect, Mike Flynn. What he is admitting to is that they broke protocol to do it. What he is admitting to is they didn't advise Mr. Flynn that there was an investigation underway. They didn't advise. He tells him, we didn't tell him what we were going to talk to him about. And let's be very specific. He's throwing around this word, this lying word. Mike Flynn lied to the FBI. Cut two.
What did you think when you found out that the national security advisor designee was lying about conversations with the Russian ambassador.
Why is he lying?
Do you know the answer?
I still don't know the answer to that. So, again, I have a limited vantage point, but it was clear that he was lying, that he lied to two FBI agents on the 24th of January in the Situation Room in a conference room, and it was clear that he was lying. But the why was really interesting to us, and I didn't get that. I wouldn't tell you that answer if I found it, but I didn't get it before I left, was fired in May.
This is Comey, again, just feeling his oats, just doing, because he thinks there's no repercussion back to him. But this word that they use, lie, 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 Mike Flynn lied. And what is he supposed to have lied about? Conversations with Russians, Russian government officials, lied about having conversations with Russian government officials before the inauguration of the administration, the incoming first day of work of the administration. And he said in the first clip I played for you, well, it was early enough. We didn't feel like the protocol. Protocol? What? Who needs stinky protocol? We'll just send these guys in. We'll trip him up, and then we'll nail him for a false statement. Now, the sentencing phase, you know, this is where we're all at with this. But this is the pinnacle charge that the special counsel and the FBI investigation with Strzok and Page and all those clowns, this is the pinnacle charge that they have pinned on Mike Flynn, that he lied to the FBI in that conversation. By the way, they didn't give him a chance to amend the conversation. They didn't ask him if he wanted to reconsider what he had said. But the way the media has taken this little fact, this little tidbit, this Comey assertion that he lied to the FBI agents and therefore this is what he pled guilty to, they say it with such arrogance. They say it with such hubris. Let me tell you what he lied about. He was the incoming NSA. It is very common for the incoming members of an administration to have conversations with the people that they deal with all over the world. And so as the national security advisor to the administration, it would not be outside the purview for him to have preliminary conversations with his counterparts in Russia, which he did have. He had business, state business conversations about protocols, about other things related to national security and his job and his counterparts doing their jobs in Russia. The two of them had those conversations. I don't know how many, but they had some. The FBI team wanted to know, and they were investigating at the time, and they wanted to know now, if he had discussed the elections of 2016, if he had had these conversations, that if he had had them, had they colluded in some way to give the victory to Donald J. Trump, that in some way that there was something evil about him having conversations with Russians. So he better not have had those conversations with Russians. Did you, General Flynn, have those conversations about colluding with Russia to help Donald Trump win? And he said no. It was technically not true. He had spoken with his counterparts in the Russian government, incoming as the national security advisor to the president. He didn't do anything wrong in doing that. And technically, he did say the wrong thing to the FBI. But what the FBI wanted him to admit to, he did not admit to. What they wanted him to say was that, yes, I had knowledge of Russians doing nefarious things and how that worked for us. He did not say those things. So what did they do? Without telling him that making a false statement to them was a crime, without allowing him to have an attorney present, without going through any of the normal protocols that the FBI would go through to normally interview a White House personnel, by the way, a member of the executive branch that largely falls under executive privilege. If they had gone through the proper protocol, President Trump could have said, no, he's not going to talk to you. Executive privilege. I'm the president. I can give him a pass to keep from doing that. Because the FBI did not do the things that they normally do, they were able to get General Flynn to say that he had not spoken to Russian officials about collusion and all this other stuff. He had spoken to Russian officials. That part was not true. That's what he pled guilty to. But James Comey takes great pride in breaking every rule to get to that conclusion. More on the analysis of the case with General Flynn next. Kim Strassel from the Wall Street Journal with more than a few thoughts about this if you read her piece today. Coming right back, it's Kevin McCullough. Breaking news as it happens. Don't go away.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We are looking at delays in the Garden State on the Garden State Parkway in both directions. Southbound from 163 in Paramus down to 153 in Clifton. More delays from 147 down towards 132. Northbound were slow Union tolls up towards exit 150. Turnpike southbound Western Spur, that's slow from 18W to 15W. Southbound Eastern Spur, 16E to 15X were slow. It looks like the Bay Extension is very slow both ways from 14A across to exit 14 in Newark. 24 eastbound jammed up in the 78 in Springfield, and 280s jammed up both ways, makes it 16 in Harrison over towards the Parkway. Let's take a look at your ride across the Hudson River. Back to New Jersey at the Holland Tunnel. That's a 45-minute delay. You want nothing to do with that. 10 to 15 on the city-bound side. Lincoln Tunnel far more user-friendly with only a 15-minute wait. Not perfect, but better. And about 20 to 30 on the city-bound side. And looks like the GW Bridge still holding on to about a 10 to 15-minute delay inbound, both upstairs and down. And both levels are slow across the span. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Are you tired of waking up early on a Sunday to listen to Frank Morano or listening to him to get interrupted by Al Cattullo? If so, you're in luck, because he's now the host of a brand new podcast that you can listen to in the morning or at night or whenever. Catch the Morano Whenever podcast at am970theanswer.com or subscribe to it on iTunes. Just search Morano Whenever.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every single week, we promise that we're going to get a lawyer, Michael Connors of Connors and Sullivan, to answer one of your tough legal questions about estate care or elder law. And Mike, this week's question comes from Margaret, who says, Mike, what is a fiduciary? Mike Connors.
It's a relatively easy question. Fiduciary comes from the Latin for trust, and it's the person you trust to handle things. The fiduciary could be the executor under your will. It could be the trustee under your trust. It could be the person you appoint as power of attorney. In other words, it's a legal term where you appoint someone to handle things for you, and they're your fiduciary. They owe you a level of care to do the right thing. You don't just give somebody the money. They owe you a duty to do the right thing, to follow your wishes. The person you trust, that's the fiduciary.
And you really need to consider all those types of qualities in the person before you name the person that.
Right. When we start doing a trust agreement, the first question is, do you trust this person? Because the trust, it's not just a word. Do you trust that person?
Yeah. Well, friends, maybe you've got a question about how to set up a trust for your family to make sure that they are well protected. There are no better people in all the tri-state area dealing with it than Mike Connors and the team at Connors and Sullivan. Call them today. Five locations. They're eager to meet and help you discover what you need to do to be in good shape. 718-238-6500 is that phone number. 718-238-6500. You can also drop more questions to askmikeconnors@gmail.com. That's askmikeconnors@gmail.com. And, of course, Mike Connors can be heard Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 570 The Mission and Saturday evenings at 6 on AM 970 The Answer, where he answers even more of your questions on Ask the Lawyer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
The trucking industry finally has a voice in New York City. Get the real deal on transportation and logistics. Tune in for New York Truck Stop Radio with Arthur and Zach Miller this Saturday afternoon at 1 on AM 970, The Answer. Cancer treatment with possibly a second chance for you, even if chemo, radiation, or surgery didn't work? Meet New York's only Harvard-trained, triple-board-certified radiation oncologist. It's the Radio Surgery Show with Dr. Gil Lederman. Sunday nights from 7 to 9 on AM 970, The Answer.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM 970, TheAnswer.com.
Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song. With joyful ring, love caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Yeah, 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 while people sing songs of good cheer. cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
You would work through the White House Counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals, and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
I just do it my way. I'm James Comey. We played you the longer part of that in the opening segment tonight, friends. It's very important that we understand how the dots get connected on this. This is one of the reasons why I've been very vigilant in referring you to the resources that I trust most on this. And the reporting of three reporters in particular have really stood out on everything related to the collusion stories. And that's Byron York at The Examiner, Molly Hemingway at The Federalist, and my next guest, who may be secretly my favorite of all of them, Kim Strassel of The Wall Street Journal. And she rejoins us at Kevin McCullough Radio. Kim, it's good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Kevin, it is great to be here, and you are too kind.
I know that it's been a busy day for you because you've got another piece that has now been issued. I want people to go to the journal's website and take a look at it. But I'm hearing rumors that the judge in the case, Judge Sullivan, has an interesting backdrop with Mueller and the head of the special counsel. So tell us what we need to know about that and how that relates to the Flynn sentencing and where we go from here, basically.
Yeah, I should have a piece up on this in just a few hours. But I am making the case, Kevin, that we probably wouldn't have seen any of these details, these very concerning details that have come out, were it not for the fact that the presiding judge in this case is Emmett Sullivan. Because Emmett Sullivan, about a decade ago, oversaw the infamous prosecution and corrupt prosecution of Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. He was so dismayed by Department of Justice conduct, he assigned a lawyer to do his own investigation. They found systematic violations of prosecutors' ethical duties, in particular to turn over evidence to the defense. And that report also excoriated the FBI for not being honest in its interviews that it did and writing up its interviews with different witnesses. So here he is now overseeing this. And one of the things that he has done ever since that experience in the Stevens trial is he issues at the beginning of every case what's called a Brady order, which reminds prosecutors of their ethical duties to the Constitution and orders them to turn over exculpatory information. And I would make the case that the only reason the Flynn defense team was allowed to see these documents that even Congress hasn't been allowed to see is because of Sullivan's order.
That is remarkable, Kim, because if you did not tell me that it was the Ted Stevens case, you're just telling me the symptoms of what was going on at the time. You could interchange the template with the Mueller probe, and it would be almost identical to what they've done in terms of what we've learned just in the Flynn interview itself. All 302s that supposedly were rewritten, interviews that didn't have the witness was not given notice to be allowed to have representation, wasn't told what the interview was going to be about, wasn't told that false statements would be a crime. Like there's so many of these things that look the same. And yet Mueller's kind of related to both of these. And here the judge has made it clear that you've got to do this.
Well, that's right, because remember who was running the FBI back during that Ted Stevens case? It was Bob Mueller, and it was his agents that were wrapped in this report that ultimately went to Judge Sullivan. So he knows all about the tricks and the tactics of prosecutors and the FBI. And this is just really good news, I think, for the country. A, because we've now been able, through transparency, this is a judge that also believes in transparency, we've been able to see some of these tactics as a result of this filing. But yeah, he's going to take a close look at this. And the 302 point is very important. You know, why was that changed 7 months later? Was it edited? Was it scrubbed? At whose direction? What was changed? And you know, not every judge is kind of savvy to the way these guys work, but I think we're lucky that we have one that's been through this rodeo before.
Yeah. Kim, real quickly, for the sake of my listeners, explain what the 302 issue is. There's two dates on a supposed summary of a conversation that took place, but the conversation appears to have taken place much earlier than the date that's entered into the record of the 302 that's in the pile of evidence. How did that come about?
Yeah, so just to be clear, a 302 is a written summary of done by FBI agents after they've interviewed subject. They're supposed to be done right away. Now, this meeting with Flynn was in January of 2017. When Flynn's defense lawyers filed their sentencing memo this week, they referenced the Flynn 302 with a date of August 22nd, 2017, which was some 7 months after his FBI interview. And again, I think this is important. That date is notable to me because it is not long after Peter Strzok, who was one of the agents who interviewed Flynn back in January. It was not long after he was taken off the Mueller probe. So, you know, you look at this and you wonder, did something change? Did they edit it? Did they scrub out information? Especially because, look, think too, from the special prosecutor's perspective, we know from early testimony from FBI officials that they initially told Congress that the agents there had not thought he had lied, which would be slightly inconvenient for a special counsel who was pursuing a perjury charge or an FBI lying charge against a witness or against a target.
Well, and the so again, and it comes down to even the substance of what he lied about. You know, they're talking to him about collusion. They're talking to him about rigging the election. They're talking to him about this. Did he have conversation with Russians? Yes. But as the NSA incoming, that would be normal with his counterparts in the Russian government, which is the people that he had the conversations with. There's no evidence that it had anything else to do with anything beyond that. He didn't have to be incorrect about stating his view of that, but he did. And that's what they trip him up for. But, Kim, the worst part is the echo effect, right? So then it goes, well, he lied about Russia. And that becomes the media headlines that MSNBC, CNN, everybody else run with. And it makes it look as though here this decorated general at the behest of the president's lying about Russians. And that's the story that gets told.
Yeah, I think you've got to step back here a little bit because this can get convoluted. But in my mind, what we've got here is, remember, around this period of time, a number of Obama officials had got this crazy, almost wild, delusional thing in their head that the way that they could stop the Trump administration was to get someone on the Logan Act, which is this law that has never been successfully prosecuted.
That's right.
And that no serious legal person talks about with a straight face. But it sounds as though this had gained such currency within there that what happened here is this is the FBI trying to set up General Flynn on some sort of Logan Act violation, which is why they didn't tell him that they had the transcripts. Look, you worked for 33 years as a paratrooper and an Army Ranger and an intelligence officer and then a national security advisor. You are probably owed the deference of having the FBI come in and say, look, we've got these transcripts here. Can we figure out what's really going on instead of being set up in some sort of legal trap? And that is what this looks to have happened.
Yeah. Friends, read Kim Strassel in The Wall Street Journal at every chance. You will stay informed and you will know your stuff just as much as she does because she puts it all right there in black and white. Kim, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Kevin McCullough Radio, when we come back, a congressman arguing that he should have the right to regulate your speech and undo the First Amendment. Next, it's Kevin McCullough Radio.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have cloudy skies with light rain in spots. It's 37 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, authorities say 13 locations here in New York City are included among the dozens of bomb threats that have been reported nationwide. Here's Olga Breeze with the very latest.
Police have already confirmed that Bronx Science High School was evacuated Thursday morning after a threat came in sometime before 11 o'clock. Apparently, the group or individual making these threats demanded Bitcoin as ransom payment. The FBI says they're working with local law enforcement partners throughout the country concerning the threats, while NYPD took to Twitter saying the threats do not appear credible. Olga Breeze, NBC News Radio, New York.
Governor Cuomo plans to tour the L-Train subway tunnel overnight tonight ahead of the line shutdown this spring. Meanwhile, local business owners say their bottom lines have already been impacted.
It already has. It has for the past 2 years. People moving out.
It's too many apartments is empty. Everybody moving this area.
I have plenty of regular customers already started moving out 2 years ago. And they said it themselves. They're getting ahead of the train closure.
The governor and subway chief Andy Byford will tour the Canarsie Tunnel just past midnight tonight. Beginning this coming April, work crews are scheduled to spend 15 months fixing the tunnel, which was severely damaged by saltwater during Superstorm Sandy. The governor wants to see if the project can be done faster, as more than 200,000 commuters use the L train daily between Brooklyn and Manhattan. In sports, all local pro teams have the night off tonight. Thursday night football, it's a good one in Kansas City. The Chiefs host the Chargers. Taking a look at the traffic, avoid that outbound Holland Tunnel. It's close to a 45-minute delay all the way around, about 10 to 15 minutes on the city-bound side. Lincoln Tunnel, not perfect, but much better than the Holland, only about a 10 to 15-minute wait, but 30 on the city-bound side, about 10 in at the GWB. Cloudy skies tonight, chance of a shower at any point, low 38. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, afternoon showers, then a steady rain comes in after dark with a high of 50. Morning rain Saturday, maybe some clearing briefly in the afternoon and highs in the middle 40s. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker. AM 970, The Answer.
It's that time of year again. Time to figure out what to send for Christmas. Hi, Kevin McCullough. At AM 970, the decision is easy. We always send Capalbo's gift baskets. They make awesome fruit, wine, champagne, gourmet gift baskets and towers. You name it, they have it. You'll love it. Everything at Capalbo's gift baskets looks good and tastes even better. It's always fresh and gorgeously presented. They make gift giving so easy and affordable. Most baskets come with free shipping, and everything is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. They're a landmark in the tri-state. Over 110 years they've been doing this and are a family-owned business. The store is filled with beautiful baskets and towers. It's located in Passaic County at 350 Allwood Road in Clifton, New Jersey. Here at the station, we've sent their baskets many times and definitely plan to use them all season long. To order, go to Capalbo's online. That's CAPALBOS online.com, or call them at 800-252-6262. 800-252-6262. I want you to experience their amazing products. So use my promo code Kevin970 at checkout and save 10% on your order. That's Kevin970 at 800-252-6262, 800-252-6262. Say Kevin at 970. You're going to get 10% off your order. This Christmas, send the best. Send Capalbo's. 800-252-6262, promo code Kevin970.
When you're hiring, some job boards make you sort through tons of the wrong resumes, which makes finding a great candidate like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. That's not smart. Then, there's the smart way at ZipRecruiter. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds great candidates for you. That's why you should try it now for free. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. And while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds what you're looking for, the needle in the haystack.
ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. That's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, AM970TheAnswer.com.
Mountain Boy and Mountain, following yonder star.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech.
Yeah, that was a congressman. That was a congressman yesterday afternoon on American cable television. That was a congressman who represents voters in America on a cable network. It's just stunning. Play just that part again, Alex.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech.
I mean, there have been elected leaders that have said such a thing, that have thought things like this in the past. But it's been very seldom that any of them have ever uttered the words. What's the context? Well, CNN's Brianna Keelar was talking to Congressman Ted Lieu, lamenting the First Amendment prevents him from being able to regulate free speech. Here's the longer version of that soundbite. Cut 5.
I would love if I could have more than 5 minutes to question witnesses. Unfortunately, I don't get that opportunity. However, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And that's simply a function of the First Amendment. But I think over the long run, it's better that government does not regulate the content of speech. I would urge these private sector companies to regulate it better themselves. But it's really nothing that I believe government can do. And so that's been my position all along.
I don't even fully understand what he means, because it's clear he says he would love to be able to regulate speech, but then he says, but in the long run, it's better if government doesn't regulate speech. But then he goes on to argue that private sector companies should regulate the speech that they, you know, the Facebooks and the Googles, they should regulate speech better. And that's been his position forever. But for an elected leader of Congress to utter the words out of his mouth, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. And I guess if he's saying that he thinks government can do it better, maybe government couldn't do it better. Maybe he's not even thinking the government should be regulating the speech. Maybe it just is him. Maybe it's just Congressman Ted Lieu. Left-wing nut job. I mean, total wacko. And he loves to get into these Twitter arguments online. And he's just every adoptive left-wing cause he's behind. But it's been a long time, if ever, that I've heard an elected leader of Congress say, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. Now, I reached out to his office. Actually, other talk radio shows openly challenged him on Twitter. Will you come on the show? Will you defend your statement? And to my knowledge, he did not accept any talk outlet to address this that was anywhere near center or center right or right of center. He may go on MSNBC or CNN tonight and talk about it on one of those places, but they've not revealed that yet. But this is incredible. And what's the context of this? Well, Breonna Kelar was asking him about if he had missed the chance to hammer Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, to follow up on some supposed inconsistencies in Sundar Pichai's testimony before Congress. And so then you hear him complaining, oh, I only get 5 minutes. I'd love to have more than 5 minutes. All I have is 5 minutes. All they give me is 5 minutes. Well, Congressman, it's not the amount of time that you have, it's what you do with it that matters. But I don't even know that anything is necessary to understand after he says that little line. Play the short version again, Alex.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech.
See, and he's right. The First Amendment prevents him from doing so. And he goes, that's just a function of the First. Well, that's why the First Amendment's there, you jackweed. The idea is that you don't deserve to get to regulate the content of speech. Not you. You're not the king. You're not God. But friends, the next time that Congressman Ted Lieu speaks on television, I'm going to have a hard time not hearing this phrase again. Play it one more time.
I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech.
It doesn't matter what he's going to be talking about. I'm just going to be going, you're the guy that thinks you have the right to determine what I say over my dead body, Congressman. Coming right back.
Hugh Hewitt likes to see the president interact with Democrat leaders.
Please don't characterize the strength that I bring to this meeting as the leader of the House Democrats who just won a big victory.
Elections have consequences, Mr. President.
Let me just say.
That's why the country is doing so well.
That's it. It was the most transparent display of animosity I've seen in a long time. God bless them, everyone.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 3, right before Joe Piscopo at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
Saturday, Seton Hall hosts their arch rivals, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, in the Garden State Hardwood Classic. Pre-game show at 1:50, the opening tip, 2 p.m. This is Dave Popkin. Join me along with Gary Cohen for all the action on AM 970, The Answer.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender. Steve Adubato's The Leadership Hour is moving to a special time this weekend so that we can bring you NFL football. It's The Leadership Hour with Steve Adubato this Sunday night at 9 on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. What do you do for the 2 o'clock lull? You know that one part of the afternoon where you just feel like you're dragging and you need a little pick-me-up, but you don't want to put harmful energy drinks in your body because they're not natural and they have too much caffeine and sugar and carbs in them for you to stay healthy? Well, what if I told you that there's a brand new one out that's loaded up with more absorbable CoQ10 and is caffeine-free, sugar-free, and carb-free? It's good for your joints. It's great for your heart. It'll hydrate you and energize you, or as we like to say, CoQ10ergize. Best of all, I've got a free sample waiting for you right now. All you have to do is go to this website, kmcfree.com. That's kmcfree.com. The first 100 people that go will get a free sample all to their own with free shipping included. kmcfree.com. CoQ10 Energy. Hydrate and CoQ10 Energize the healthy way. More absorbable CoQ10, caffeine, sugar, and carb free. And it's free to you. kmcfree.com.
Tune in every Saturday at noon for Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., and get answers to all your health-related questions. That's Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., Saturdays at noon on AM 970, The Answer. In an accident, think Bramnick. Free phone consultations. Accident cases are handled on a contingency fee. No recovery, no fee. Bramnick lawyers handle a wide variety of cases involving negligence. If it's an accident, call Bramnick. 1-877-423-4878.
Joe Piscopo here to tell you there's a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year. It's something they'll use twice a day. It was featured on Oprah's O List, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth. This it gift is Quip, an electric toothbrush designed to make brushing better. Quip has sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough on your sensitive gums, and a built-in timer with guiding pulses to remind you when to switch sides. Quip is the gift that keeps refreshing, with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. You can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure they're never using old, worn-out bristles. Quip looks like a big-ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price, starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Piscopo, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/Piscopo.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM97TheAnswer.com.
Yeah, I'm sending you a Merry New York Christmas. And a prayer for peace on earth within our time.
She's helped parents do it better since her days at New York One. Now, she helps you hack the parenting code one tip at a time. Shelley Goldberg and the Parenting Express, exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, every Thursday, we set the paper down for a second. We set the headlines off to the side just for a little bit because it's really important that we help become better parents, that we give you some tips, some hacks, how to hack the parenting code, do better at what you want to do, which is to raise really good kids that are responsible, follow through on things, prepare them for adulthood properly. And a couple of weeks ago, Shelley, welcome back, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, you Thank introduced you. Us to your bookshelf. And we're not doing this every week, but it's been a couple of weeks since we did it, and I thought it would be fun to revisit that. So what do you have for us today from the bookshelf of Shelley Goldberg?
Thank you, Kevin, for bringing that up. And it's amazing, you know, when all of us look over the books that we have, there's such wisdom. You know, if we just take the time, you know, to look through the pages, So I found this wonderful book that I hadn't looked through in a couple of years. It's called 150 Ways to Help Your Child Succeed.
Oh, wow.
150 Ways. And it's by Karen Ireland, I-R-E-L-A-N-D. And there's such wisdom. This is such a smart lady. So I went through it and I thought, let me share this with your listeners because I have no question that it will help someone somewhere.
Sure.
So the first thing is to really know what it is to sit down as a parent and to ask yourself, what do you mean? What does Kevin mean by success? I mean, for some parents, right, it's good grades or being popular or doing your chores. But so, Kevin, make a list of the qualities that you feel will help your children succeed. And then you're going to find ways for your child to learn them. So it's first identifying what is each family, what success mean to each family. And it's very individual. I mean, certainly it's way more than grades and, you know, and those superficial things and being popular, you know, it's character and those deep things. But
sure.
Take your time and think about what it means. All right.
Well,
Number two, encourage your kids to know the results, what it is they want before they start.
Ah.
So to think about what it is, what do you want to happen before you even begin this project? And that's something that kids have a lot of difficulty doing, and it's something we all do throughout our lives. And the better you do it, the more successful your life will be.
Well, what that does, very simply, is it puts instant accountability into the efficacy, big word, of the process. So if you predefine what you want your results to be, then you know if you're achieving them by regularly checking against what you predefined them to be. And it's I actually think that's kind of like the ultimate job of the parent. Like I can feed them and clothe them and do all the stuff that, you know, they need physically. But in terms of the full development of a child into an adult, it's to get them to self-measure their own ability to achieve their own goals. And that's
correct.
Primarily decision making and then effort, you know, work ethic. But if you accomplish those two, then your kids are probably going to turn out successful.
Well said, Kevin. All right, here are some more. Eliminate negative labels and phrases from your family's vocabulary. So you don't want to hear things like you're lazy, sloppy, you're a know-it-all, you're so ungrateful, you're selfish, you're a scaredy cat, you never do this, you never do that. Get rid of all those words, all those phrases. It's not going to help anyone. It's only going to cause problems and damage. So get rid of that. All right. Help your child to learn to be on time. Help your child to understand that life isn't fair. Encourage your child to keep a journal of their successes. And I think that's brilliant because when our children fail, which they inevitably will, it's wonderful for you as a parent to say, let's look at the times that things did work out. You succeeded,
right.
And it was a success.
Yeah.
So encourage your child to keep that kind of journal. Help your child to look for solutions where everyone wins. You know that expression, win-win?
Oh, yes, very much so.
So you're helping your child to see that there are sometimes you can actually find solutions where everybody's happy. As a parent, Kevin, reward honesty rather than punishing your child when they tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Has that happened in your house? Can you identify with that one?
Well, yeah, and I think that even going back to the some of the other things you were just saying, like it's important to eliminating the negative is important, but if you don't know where you're not measuring up to the, you know, the outcome that you want to try to achieve, you've got to draw attention to that. But I do think that trying to celebrate the successes alongside of the critique is really vital because, you know, you said the journal of the success. Well, even in daily correction. So like say my 8-year-old is doing whatever he's doing and he makes a big mistake. You know, it's important for me to say, hey, is that really what you want to do? Or do you want to have the same feeling you had, like remember when, and then pull up something that, you know, when you made your Taekwondo advancement belt last week or whatever it is, then it puts him back into that frame of mind of, yeah, that's what I want, but I'm not there yet. and this, I've got to get this right in order to get there. And it's like, again, it's the constant kind of accountability, but I don't really want to be ultimately for the rest of his life the accountability. I want him to hold himself accountable to the standards that he has.
Okay, that's a good one. That should be on your list. Yeah. I like this one very much. Teach your child to see the difference, to understand the difference between assertive and aggressive.
Yes.
Assertive and aggressive. All right. I think kids and adults have a hard time with that one. Help your child to recognize what stresses him or her out, and then learn strategies to deal with the stress. What are the triggers? You know how we say to adults, what are your stress triggers? Well, you can start to see that in children as well. So when your child learns to recognize that in themselves, they have more control over their lives. So that's a very powerful way that you as a parent can help your child.
Yeah.
And certainly get a tutor. If your child needs help and you can't provide the help, get your child a tutor.
This is some good stuff. 150 Ways to Help a Child Succeed by Karen Ireland. It was on Shelley Goldberg's bookshelf in the Parenting Express today. And we'll put a link up to it with the podcast on the podcast page. Shelley, we appreciate your diligent effort to help us each Thursday.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you. My pleasure.
Have a great rest of the week, and Merry Christmas. It's coming up soon enough, and Happy Hanukkah. 150 Ways to Help a Child Succeed. Karen Ireland, the book. Shelley Goldberg, the correspondent on the Parenting Express, every Thursday on Kevin McCullough Radio. Stay with us.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Well, if you're trying to get to the outbound George Washington Bridge at this hour, it's not really a good ride at all on any of the major approaches. Northbound West Side Highway, that's going to be slow coming off 12th Avenue all the way up to the George Washington Bridge. Heading downtown, by the way, we're slow. GW Bridge down into the 90s. FDR northbound generally slow from the Manhattan Bridge right up to the RFK Triborough Bridge. And then we're slow from the 150s to the GW Bridge. And southbound, we're slow 130s into the 70s. Cross Bronx westbound, that's slow from the Bruckner to the GW Bridge. Eastbound, heavy off the bridge out towards Webster Avenue. Deegan northbound slows RFK Triborough to the Cross Bronx and up towards Van Cortlandt Park. Southbound, we're looking at delays from Fordham Road down into the Cross Bronx. And it looks like some delays in Queens continuing on the eastbound LIE, bumper-to-bumper, BQE, right out towards the Cross Island Parkway and into Nassau County. Not much better on the westbound side. Cross Island out to Queens Boulevard, that is jammed. Grand Central jammed eastbound from the RFK Triborough all the way out to the Cross Island Parkway. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. What a great gift suggestion this holiday season. How about the MyPillow 4-pack? What could be better than giving someone the greatest night's sleep of their lives every single night for the rest of their lives? Well, right now, Mike Lindell is offering over 50% off on two premium MyPillows and two Go Anywhere pillows and free shipping. They are also extending the money-back guarantee all the way through March 1st of 2019. Since I started sleeping on my MyPillow, I've slept better, deeper, more soundly than I ever have before. And if you haven't tried the MyPillow, what are you waiting for? Except missing out on good sleep. Get Mike's 4-pack. Over 50% off two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows along with free shipping on this offer only, money-back guarantee until March 1st. Call 800-506-2641 and use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the promo code AM970. That number again, 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641, 800-506-2641, promo code AM970.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
Oh, no colds, no flu, lots of energy, just overall well-being. It's just if I stop taking it, I see the difference. You know, I would never stop with these. I would keep them on hand always.
Well, I got more energy for sure. I don't feel the same if I don't take this every day. I think it's improved my life greatly because I was feeling real sluggish before, sluggish and tired. I had like this brain fog. It's all gone now. You know, I've been taking this stuff and I feel like I have the energy of an 18-year-old with the looks of a 30-year-old and I'm 50. It's crazy. This stuff is crazy. I love it.
For a limited time, use discount code THEANSWER. And we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
What you need to know when you need it. Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us every single day, and looking forward to tonight's big show at Carnegie Hall. It is the fifth anniversary of the Getty's Christmas tour. Tonight, Tim Keller will be there doing a brief bit of speaking. Phil Keaggy, the greatest guitar player on planet Earth, even Eddie Van Halen says so. And John Patitucci, arguably the most accomplished bass player in the world, also on the same stage. It's going to be phenom, and I look forward to being there with a lot of you, by the way. I know that a lot of you enjoy the Christmas song, so we're going to do that together tonight. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow. On Monday, I believe, because I just got word, that David Fisher is headed home from the hospital. Successful surgery yesterday, and I believe he's going to be with us on Monday, and we're going to give away the 1 ounce $20 gold piece that you have been registering for. If you have not yet registered, you still have time. Go to here in New York and around the world, am970theanswer.com, and click on the Landmark Capital banner, and you'll be able to do that. And also, if you haven't tried CoQ10ergy, I've got a free sample of that still for you at kmcfree.com as well. Now, I got a couple of things to end with tonight. First of all, John Roberts and Melissa Francis started something over at Fox News. They're trying to come up with the best duo name for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. These are the options. You could vote. You could send me your tweet or email to tell me which you prefer. Nanchuck, Chucksy, Palomer, or Shelosi. Now, Melissa Francis voted for Shelosi. I kind of like that. Although, someone replying to the thread said, what about Nanchucket? It's got a certain New England or Northeastern ring to it. Nanchucket. I think Shelosi is the way to go with it. Anyway, vote kmcradio@gmail.com if you want to weigh in on that. Also, I don't know why, but I have to weigh in on the most important story of the day. Because the morning show is obsessed with it this morning. My producer's obsessed with it this morning. I think they all have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Because these people that are doing a poll on whether or not the Christmas wreaths on the Holland Tunnel need to be moved lest they cause someone to have panic attacks. Friends, I gotta just say this. If you're gonna freak out and have a panic attack because you see a Christmas tree on the N instead of the A, don't even come to New York City. The stuff we've got here, it's way too weird for you. Stay away. In fact, if you're online for the Holland Tunnel now, just turn illegally through those cones and get on the other side of the expressway and go back to New Jersey, where you belong. I'm Kevin McCullough.